Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
It is the Tuesday edition. The Josh DiMaggio, what are you doing here? Oh, wait. I'm the one who's not normally here. This is where you work.
Oh.
In the Gruber Law Offices, one called That's All Studios edition. The I can hear it in your voice, old boy. Distractapalooza. Wilde's out of the basement.
Somebody got out of the house and's got a bunch of extra candy and juice about him today.
Out of the house. Actually, I got fruit. I'm very excited about the fruit. Gonna need a fork. I think the spoon has been used. What do you think, Joshy? This is gonna be fun. I love it when I'm here. It's not. Tausch doesn't, but I do. Edition. And also the long-awaited Tuesday Tease Payoff edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde, not in Green Bay, in Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land, from the Gruber Law Offices, one call, That's All Studios at the 3rd Street Market Hall at the Avenue. Jesse Nelson, I can only assume, is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios. And from maybe his undisclosed location, or maybe he's there too. I don't know. I don't see him right now. It is the Packers Hall of Famer. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
So I'm curious. Your energy's awesome. You're all jacked up. We got to get you out the basement more. Look at you. I've not felt you. The show started on time. Like, oh, boy.
Well, wait a minute.
So,
what do you mean the show started on time? The show always starts on time.
Well, you jumped right in. It wasn't, the music didn't run. You're all jacked up. Isn't it better to live this way than to just be buried in your basement all the time?
No. It's my first of all, my energy is fairly consistent. Now, am I excited to see Big Cat? I will say this. It's kind of like coming in as a relief pitcher for an inning, and then pitching as the starter in the doubleheader, because Jen had a call that she had to get on for, I assume, for college game day. And so I can't say Devin Williams anymore. I was Yoel Piamps, and I closed out. Jen gave it Chewy. Came in for the last out. And so I already was a little bit warmed up. I was in a groove. So that allowed me to come into our show with a little more juice, if you will, and I'm ready to go. I'm very excited. Now I will say this: the last time one of us was in the Gruber Law Offices, one call, That's All Studios, you did what I did the last time I was here, and you had Big Cat Joshy DiMaggio put the YouTube stream up on the TV in here, so I'm not watching First Take or whatever else might be programmed on the big ESPN. And I have to remind myself, like you failed to do repeatedly, that it's on a delay. So if I am talking on the video that I'm looking at, I may actually be done talking in real life and it'll be you talking. And I know that caused some confusion when you were down here. So I am going to stop talking and say, it's great to see you, buddy. And I'm eager for your Tuesday Tease payoff from yesterday about the Vikings and the Lions.
Okay. Oh, you're done? Oh, I can't, because I'm on normal. See, I can't tell if you're actually done. What do we make of this whole thing? Because, Jesse, I sent you that video this morning of Dan Campbell kind of rallying the troops. And as I was talking yesterday, and I think Detroit's goose is cooked. That is, in essence, my tease for today. I respect the heck out of what they've done. It's too much. And this morning, Dan Campbell went on his radio show that he does with, I don't know, whoever up in Detroit. And he is kind of throwing his rally the troops. I don't care. This is what we're going to find ways to win. And I love that. It's exactly what he should be doing.
Right.
But I think in his heart of hearts, he knows. And for someone that has written off the Minnesota Vikings, and they are not going to go to the Super Bowl, my tease from yesterday, the Minnesota Vikings are going to win the NFC North. I can't believe I'm going to... What? That's the tease. That's what I think is going to happen.
It is. And it is a great tease, and I believe you.
You look like somebody just urinated in your Cheerios. Oh, that's what you got? Huh?
That's not actually it at all. It's
exactly.
But the face was not for you. It was for myself, because I feel like I did a bad job of protecting the tees yesterday.
Yeah, you jumped
because I knew that was now going to be the payoff, and I ruined it in fairness, I would like to defend myself briefly and say it's hard to hold a tease for 24 hours. And we kind of danced around it throughout our conversation yesterday, but that's what I expected. It is for me. So how do you feel right now, though, after being Debbie dismissive of the Purple People Eaters, to now have to make that statement?
It's humbling. I'm surprised by it.
Eagles-Vikings in the NFC Championship game. It'll be the Tausch Bowl of the two teams you dismissed.
So I think the Eagles are going to end up in the one seed. Minnesota's going to end up in the two. Detroit, is Detroit going to beat Chicago? Chicago stinks. So I think they'll find a way to beat the Bears, and then I think they'll end up losing to San Fran and losing to Minnesota, and that's how we end up with Minnesota with more than likely probably four losses. I don't think if we end up with four losses, they end up with four losses in Detroit. I just have to make sure I know the tiebreaker scenario. I don't know if that will be known until we find out who beats who, but I think if Minnesota ends up beating Detroit at the end of the season, I think that would put them ahead. I don't know that for certain, but the Minnesota Vikings, I think, will lose to us, and I think they will end up beating everybody else, and then that puts them with three, maybe four losses if they can't go out to Seattle. I just think this all thing comes down to that last game of the season, and now I have to pick Minnesota to beat Detroit just because I think Detroit is too gutted. And for as much as they're going to rally the troops and do what they can, I think it's going to be a bridge too far, and they're going to end up in the five seed. And I think they might be a one and done. That's how badly I think Detroit is what they've had to deal with.
I say this with nothing but respect for you and your football knowledge. Given your underestimation track record, and that we have now established you underestimated how good the Eagles are, now you're acknowledging your underestimation
of
the...
That was more of a slip. I had just forgotten. I've been on Philly's train most of the season. I've put Green Bay, Detroit, and Philly as the top three all season, for the most part.
Okay. Well, I find myself wondering if you might not be now, in turn, underestimating maybe not nutwhack because they haven't won a championship, but underestimating the Lions' ability. I mean, look, you don't want to lose David Montgomery, obviously. Not many teams can lose, say, a Josh Jacobs and have Jahmyr Gibbs, who can take over as more of a full-time number one back now, right? Like, that it's not it's certainly not good for them, but it's not like they're asking Ellis Merriweather or Emmanuel Wilson to take over as their lead back. Jahmyr Gibbs is pretty darn good. He's a former first-round pick. So maybe that is not as devastating. I know the defensive tackle loss is a big one, but are you think they have reached the tipping point where it's just a bridge too far injury-wise? That is your position.
I think Green Bay right now, as they're positioned, is going to be in a better spot than the Detroit Lions when the playoffs start.
I would love to push back on that, but while the Detroit Lions continue to lose people, Packers are going to get Jair back eventually. They're getting Luke Musgrave back, right? He's in the process of being returning from injured reserve. I don't think, and I have to check the NFL rules on this, but remember, Marshawn Lloyd is on the non-football injury list after his appendectomy. He is not on IR, so I don't know if he can be brought back or not. I have to check the rules on that. But they're pretty good at running back, right? I mean, they love Chris Brooks. He's playing a bunch. There was one play in the game on Sunday night where they had Brooks and Emmanuel Wilson as the two backs in a two-back backfield. So they feel good about that. Everyone, you know, Romeo Doubs is back from the concussion protocol. Eventually they'll have Javon Bullard back healthy, and they could go back to their regular secondary lineup. I'm not going to push back on you on that. I think there's a good chance the Packers are better positioned. It still doesn't mean that they're going to win, right? But I do feel like the one thing I don't want to do is underestimate the Lions, and their injuries are worse than what you guys had in 2010, right? I mean, that team lost you. You lost J. Mike. You lost Barnett.
They're tough.
This is worse.
They're a physical group. They have all the intangibles, all that stuff, but there comes a point where you just can't overcome it. They hit that point after last weekend's games. You're talking, and it's not – Montgomery's a big loss. That's not where I think the big hits are. McNeil is their best inside player. He's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're taking your best cover corner, who I think is a big part of being able to slow down Green Bay in that first part. Carl Davis, good player.
He is.
You take both of those guys out of this equation, it's just going to be – it's too much. And I don't care, Za'Darius Smith, I don't know, he only played 20-some snaps last week. It's too much.
Is he holding out for more money?
Disregarding Detroit, but I would be, unless they can somehow muster it up, and if they can and get that one seed, I just don't envision that happening. I think they're going to have a hard time finding a win on the rest of their schedule. Even with the Chicago Bears, I think that's their game, but down there, sloppy, their defense makes a couple of plays. I think that if they lose to Chicago this weekend, you can put a fork in them. I think that they're going to be tough enough to find a way to figure out a way to get it done, which we're going to get to this Dan Campbell sound next segment. That's, in essence, what he's trying to say. But right. When you make a claim like he just did, Dan Campbell knows that the confidence and the injuries are catching up. And this, to me, was a Custer's last stand quote. For him and his team, understanding where they're at. And when you're doing that in mid-December, you know you're up against it. And Detroit's up against it.
So we'll play that coming up because I have not heard it. I just saw your text about it. And I know that ESPN on First Take or Get Up, they were talking about it as well. He has seized the news cycle with this, right? And as you put it, this is what he has to do. And I'm sure he's giving an even more fire and brimstone-y speech to his guys. The question I want you to ponder, and then we'll listen to him, and then we'll talk about it, is you, as the former player, having played 11 years in the league, what's the value of this? How much can it mean? How much can it help? How much can it inspire their guys to continue to persevere through the adversity of being decimated with injuries? I mean, let's not forget, they lost a guy who was on track to win the Defensive Player of the Year award, Aiden Hutchinson, after, what, five games? I mean, they were banged up when the Packers played them, and they had no linebackers and no defensive linemen other than the one guy they just lost now. So how much value is there, and how convincing can a coach be when these guys are smart people? They see all the injuries. They know the quality of players they've lost. I'm curious, Tausch, how you will view that. We will listen to Dan Campbell, then we will listen to you after you tell us, and we listen, about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, ensure your home remains comfortable before we reach the brutal post-holiday winter. Yes, Santa Claus is magical, but his elves aren't even qualified to build Pella Windows and Doors. Too many options, too many customizations. So instead of going through the big red fella, go to the great people at Pella. Take advantage of this deal. Get as low as $19 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends December 31st. Visit PellaWI.com to learn more.
We will hear from Dan Campbell. Jesse, have you edited out the profanities?
We're finishing, putting all the finishing touches on that. He did break a couple of FCC rules while he made his appearance.
And
this
that was
morning,
live, so. Right?
Yeah.
Like, they had there. Somebody called Greg Gard and Charles Woodson. All right, we will hear from Dan Campbell next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holiday.
I may be out of the basement, but I am still happily in the YouTube chat. Apparently, folks like to listen to us at 1.5 speed, Tausch, when they listen to the podcast. So apparently we talk slowly when we're live. So I'll try and speed up and talk really fast. Dan Campbell, I don't know how quickly he spoke, but he did include some profanity during his visit. Now, Jesse, what is the Detroit radio station that he does a weekly hit with?
This is 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit.
Ah, The Tickets. That's The Ticket. All right, so here is Dan Campbell, courtesy of 95.1. What was the number again?
97.1
97.1 The Ticket.
I've heard it both
ways. I haven't, actually. Well, you have now because I got it wrong. Here is Dan Campbell on 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit, talking about his team's injury outbreak.
You know what happens is, you know, you win 11 in a row, you know, and you lose, and then the sky falls. And I hate to say it, but we're not going to be able to win 11 in a row again for the rest of this season. We're just not going to be able to do it. And, you know, what happens is you get used to eating filet, and I'm talking to all of us. And well, everything's good. Life's good, you know. But you forgot what it was like when you had nothing and you ate your folded bread, you know. And it was just fine. And it gave you everything you needed. And sometimes you got to get punched in the mouth and remember what it used to be like to really appreciate where you are. And we'll do that. And so we got a bad taste in our mouth. We got kicked around the other day. We lost a few guys. And you know what? It's exactly what we needed. This is exactly what we needed. So we're going to bounce back. We're going to respond. We got guys that are going to about to have an unbelievable opportunity here. And we will play the game any way needed to win. We still got a good offense. We got plenty of defensive players. I can go rattle them off right now. We're going to put the best 11 on the field. We're going to freaking cut it loose. We're going to play with our special teams. And I don't give a crap if we got to win by 1 point for the rest of the year. That's what we're going to do. And I'm going to be happy about it. We come out of the game with 50 yards of total offense, and we win by one. You're going to see smiles on my face, I promise you. All right. If it's the other way defensively, we give up 700 yards and we win by 1 point, you're going to see a smile from my ear to ear. All right. I promise you. So we're going to find a way and we're going to get it done.
If you're gonna go F-bomb at other points, why do you go crap? Don't you just go all in?
I cleaned it up for them, but they realized.
You edited that. You like dubbed it in like they do in the movies on regular TV.
No.
Wow, you're good. Tausch, are you inspired?
What happens when you eat moldy bread?
I thought he said folded bread.
Did say folded bread.
No.
Yes.
No, it's molded. He said moldy.
No, he said folded.
No, he said molded.
Oh.
What do you care about eating folded bread? Folded bread makes it fancier. He's trying to tell you, y'all have been getting fat and happy on great filet mignon. Don't forget about the days you had to eat molded bread.
You get used to eating filet, and I'm talking to all of us. And everything's good. Life's good, you know. But you forgot what it was like when you had nothing and you ate your folded bread.
He definitely says folded. Boy, he doesn't say molded or moldy.
Well, he also said crap, and I think he maybe said maybe it's folded. Folded bread is not a bad thing.
He's basically saying that it's folded bread. There's nothing on the inside of it. Jesse, help me out here for old T.
It's folded bread. Now, in fairness, that is where he dropped the first of his two F-bombs, so it could have been bad editing, and he said molded bread, but I'm pretty sure he said folded bread. Because I don't think he would go.
I'm pretty sure it was molded. Anyways,
what does that even mean? What is molded bread?
We'll get into. If you cut them, you can cut a rock mold and eat the rest of the bread.
Oh, that's gross. No.
But that would be moldy bread, not molded.
If any of that bread is molded, I'm throwing it out. I'm not cutting around it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You can't
no
eat
way.
Mold.
You've been eating filet mignon too long.
Jesse eats a cut every Tuesday.
It annoys me.
Are you inspired?
We have about molded bread?
No.
I don't mind eating molded bread. I'm not. I get what Dan is doing here. And yes, if I'm in his locker room, I appreciate what he's saying. But how is it going to be if Caleb Williams takes the team down in the Chicago Bears offense, which, by the way, looked pretty good against Green Bay's defense as the last time they looked good, goes down and scores points. How's that going to – how will they then say, well, boy, let's get back to that molded bread and let's fight and compete? They're a scrappy, tough team, no doubt. But you can have – Jesse, help me out here. You could have the Muskego whatevers playing the Edgar Wildcats, and it's Division I versus Division VII. There's a reason there's different divisions, right? And you could have the Idaho Vandals playing the, I'm not going to say the Wisconsin Badgers.
The Oregon
Ducks. But you're playing the Ohio State Buckeyes.
New Mexico
Lobos.
Wolfpack or whatever they are, Lobos.
You could have all of these matchups. There's a reason that things are kind of tiered off. And Detroit has been in the upper tier all season. And they still deserve our respect, but this is not the Detroit Lions football team now. Their defense is not going to be the same. It's just not.
You're right.
And
you're right.
You're going to find ways to win. Dan Campbell is saying all the right stuff. But I bet you this, for as aggressive as he has been, and for everybody that crushed him about kicking the onside kick the other night, what the hell did you want him to do? Well, you're down 10. Yeah, you haven't stopped him all day. And you think you're going to stop him? You just lost your best D tackle and your best corner, and now all of a sudden you think magically, oh, yeah, we're going to stop. We'll have no problem stopping Josh Allen. No, you have to do this. So he is going to be even more aggressive. I bet if it's 4-3 or less, no matter where, he realizes he's going to have to continue to go for it. He's going to have to push on this offense that's now missing a big piece of its part of it. All I'm saying is I think as a Packer fan, it's as an NFL fan, it stinks to see what's happening to the Detroit Lions because they've earned it and they've worked to put themselves in this position. But from a Packer fan standpoint, you ain't nobody's underdog anymore. The Detroit Lions team that you've played and that you've lost to twice, this isn't the same group. And I would bet even if we had to go to Detroit, we will be favored when we would play the Detroit Lions again. That's what I would bet. And I know that Detroit's still favored in the ESPN FP, whatever that blanking thing is. I'm not buying it. It not in my book. It's Philly and Green Bay in my book right now, with Minnesota right there. And then Detroit is now falling behind Minnesota in my book as far as the NFC rankings go. Is that fair? Probably not. But is it my reality? And I think most people looking at this are looking at it saying, boy, it's going to be fun to watch Detroit scramble and compete. But their playing field is no longer level. Their playing field, they are behind the eight ball. And does Dan Campbell have some trick shots where he can jump it and maybe get a ball in? Sure. Is he going to be able to do that in a three-game playoff push? No, they're not. You ain't gimmicking and tricking and fooling your way into winning 3 to 4 games to win a championship. You got to go out and do it. And the horses just ain't there no more for the Detroit Lions.
We'll ask Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike if he agrees with that assessment coming up. Tausch, we could all agree, though, that if you have a bathroom that needs renovating, Doug,
so you don't
and the
cut
team,
around the mold? You don't cut
no,
around mold
I,
and eat?
All right,
like if it's
so,
a good piece of focaccia?
No.
And it's just...
No. In fact, during this ridiculous argument, there's no such thing as molded bread. I've Googled it. There's nothing about it. There is folded bread. I'm a little concerned about more than just your hearing, but it also led to, is it safe to eat moldy bread? Quote, no matter how little the mold spot is on the bread, now in bold, it is not safe to just cut around it and eat the rest because the root of the mold has already deeply become part of the bread. So don't eat
what
moldy
if you're
bread.
Making,
that's one
what if you're making like a cheesy garlic bread and you cut off the top and you put garlic and you burn it and it's still so that seems like just such a waste, doesn't it?
I do have an update here to share. So I went back and checked the tape here. Mm-hmm. Listen to this version.
But you forgot what it was like when you had nothing and you ate your molded bread.
I think he did say molded bread. And I think the edit of the F-bomb out actually did impact it. So I think he did say molded after all.
God, I hate being right.
But you forgot what it was like when you had what it was like, nothing and you ate your molded bread.
Yeah.
He did say it.
I'm going
to
text.
Tell you something, Wildy. I hate to tell you this. You're one of those guys. You're wolfing down fillets for lunch. When's the last time you ate molded bread? Probably 15 years?
No one's eating molded bread unless they want to get sick. And then you're going to be glad that you have a really nice bathroom in which to vomit because you went to Kohler Services.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Don't eat moldy bread! No matter what the coach of the Lions says he was doing before he was eating filet. Yuck!
Well, if you're... I don't know how to take that transition, so I'm just going to tell you, if you need a bath or shower remodel this holiday season, turn to Kohler Services. Family, 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. This month only, 0 interest for 12 months, and a free shower door with your Lugstone shower remodel. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com. Request your free quote with fast professional installation always included. Again, that's KohlerServicesWI.com.
Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike tells us more about the molded bread that he likes to eat. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at Tito'sVodka.com.
I heard him on my drive down to the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All studios on Unsportsmanlike, and now I hear him on Wildy and Tausch. It is Evan Cohen. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Jason. How are you?
Well, I'm reeling a little bit because I thought Dan Campbell said folded bread, and it's molded bread, which I don't know what that is, and Tausch thinks that's the same as moldy bread, and I don't think you should eat moldy bread. think that's dangerous. Would you agree? Can we all agree on that?
Yeah, but when you're saying you don't know what molded bread is, what do you mean by
yeah.
that?
What is that? Well, what is molded bread?
He's living the filet life, Evan. I mean, that's what he's been doing the last 20 years.
Like when you have, when you have a loaf of bread and it takes you longer than normal to eat, and thus you have like four or five pieces left, and a couple of the pieces have like little blue or white spots on it. You've never
moldy.
Experienced that?
That's moldy bread, not molded. Molded is like the cleats that Tausch used to wear on the field.
You're challenging the wording, not the actual concept of it. Interesting.
Definitely don't eat moldy or molded bread, then, if that's what you call it. Gross, and it's dangerous.
I'm going to tell you something. There probably have been a time or two where I'm like, it's just one part of the bread. Maybe I just remove that part and eat the rest of it. I mean, listen, you get a little lazy. You don't want to go out and get a new, loaf of bread. You want to have a nice turkey sandwich and call it a day. I mean, who hasn't done that?
I'm with Evco. Of course you wouldn't.
What? So you're not with Evco on one of his takes, apparently, though. You teased this yesterday, too, that you were going to get after him.
What was it? I don't remember. What was the take?
Well-oiled machine, Tausch. Well, I mean, that is unbelievable. That is Jason putting the ball on the tee and you showing up without a bat.
I didn't.
What are you doing?
I haven't even written anything down.
Do you think the Bills' loss to the Rams was a good thing for the Bills heading into the playoffs?
Oh, thank you, Jesse. Yeah, now I remember.
Also on the show sheet, if you'd ever look at that.
Evan Cohen decided yesterday to say that losing to the Rams and having really little to no chance to secure the one seed, not have to play opening weekend, everything comes through Buffalo, but it was a great thing for Josh Allen and the Bills to do that and take away any opportunity and potentially have to play the Baltimore Ravens in the first round of the playoffs. But it was a great thing that they lost to the Rams and did that. Evan, please defend that.
Yeah, so you'll have to help me with the exact numbers on the winning streak. But I'm of the belief, and this concept really has started years and years ago with the NCAA tournament, where you don't want to be on too big of a winning streak to then have to continue a winning streak versus to start a winning streak.
I'm intrigued by this.
So, in order to win the NCAA tournament, obviously you've got to win six games in a row. But if you go, look at the numbers. I'm sure Jesse has them ready to go here. Look at the numbers of the longest in-season winning streaks in the NFL and whether or not that team that year won the Super Bowl. So I'm not saying it hasn't happened, obviously. Like the Philadelphia Eagles, what are they on right now? They're on a 9-game, 10-game winning streak? Something like that?
Let me fact check that for you.
They were 1-2 or 2-2, so yes.
Okay, so they have 3 games. Let's call it 10. I think it's 10. So let's call it 10. Yeah, they have 3 games left, if I'm not mistaken. That's 13 going into the playoffs, likely as the two seed, which would put them with 4 more wins, right, to go to win a Super Bowl. So that means they would need to, in season, have a 17-game win streak to win it all. The Buffalo Bills, I believe at the time of the loss to the Rams, I think was something like an 8-game winning streak. They lose that game. Now if they finish out the season after their win against Detroit, I believe they have 2 against New England, 1 against the Jets. Let's assume they finish out their season on a 4-game winning streak plus 4 more games. Now I'm asking them to do what they've done before. I'm not asking them to have an insane win streak. I think at times the reset is not a bad thing, and I think that you don't want to have to go on too long of a winning streak to win it all. That's the point.
So you'd rather not have to continue to win, so you reset. I'm not going to argue. There's a value in having a loss that you – no, well, if I may. A loss that makes you refocus. But then there's another thing where I don't have to go to Kansas City. I don't have to play opening weekend. And everybody comes to Buffalo. That trumps some 10-12 game winning streak, in my opinion.
Right, but it's not 10 or 12. It's an astronomical number, Tausch, at that point. Because let's do the exact math on that. What, it was 8 and then 4 left, right? If I'm not, or 5 left. It would have been 12, 13 in the regular 15. Season.
Yep.
You're talking about a full season. You're talking about a full, you're in essence talking about a 17-0. So I just don't think that's possible. I've said it once, I'll say it a million times. I don't believe people are made up to win the Super Bowl twice in 1 year. Because going 17-0 is winning one Super Bowl, and then undefeated in the playoffs to win it all is another Super Bowl. I don't think it's possible, because I saw the greatest coach and greatest quarterback fail it. So I am going to choose to believe that no one can do it if those two can't do it. And don't give me Shula and Greasy and everybody in 72. Totally different world. Less regular season games, less playoff games, less coverage, less attention. Totally different. When the Packers won as a 6 with Rodgers, what was the streak there, Jason? How many games in a row?
So they won the last 2 of the regular season to get in. So then 4, including the Super Bowl title over the Steelers. So they won
perfect.
6 in a row.
Six beyond reasonable.
So are you right? saying beyond then that the banged up Detroit Lions, having their 11-game winning streak end with the Buffalo Bills, are in the same boat, or are their injuries so overwhelming that it doesn't really matter that they don't have to win 17 in a row to win the Super Bowl now?
That's right, the second part of that. I mean, like, you almost have to leave them to the side now, because the Lions team that we've known is not the Lions team that exists currently, right? So I think when Packers fans that are listening right now, I don't think they should not worry about the Lions. They should. I think if you're thinking about, are the Packers going to get to the Super Bowl, which everybody has every right to think that right now. Can you beat the Eagles on the road? Can you beat the Vikings on the road? Do you want to avoid the Rams and the Bucks? I think it all costs. I think in a dream world, somehow you're playing the Commanders. Or the Seahawks get in. I think some of these NFC teams are sneaky good right now. I mean, is there a more underrated coach quarterback duo in the NFL than Todd Bowles and Baker Mayfield? Think about that for a second. Nobody talks about them ever, and they're really good. And then the Rams obviously have been there and done that, and we make up in our minds when we've seen that before, we think we could see it again.
So those, if you're looking at the NFC from the national perspective, which you always give us, so those are the teams you want no part of. Are the Packers in that equation for other teams too then, in your mind?
Well, okay, so now let's have this discussion. This is good. Are we in agreement, us, the Wilde and Tausch team, as well as myself, are we in agreement that we're going to leave the Lions to the side because we have no idea how to look at them right now? Are we in agreement on that?
I will leave them to the side from my perspective for the exact reason. I don't know what to think of them.
Tausch,
I'm not willing.
Is Tausch still here, Jason?
He's still here.
What happened to you, Tausch? I made so many good points, you have just collapsed. Are you alive, Tausch?
Yes, I am. And I prefer, unlike some hosts, I like to let my guests talk. And then I will interject what I feel. If you had listened to the show earlier... What do you mean? What?
How would I do that? I was on the air, basically, in our post-show meeting.
I understand. Well, you have Wisconsin on. There's Wisconsin on demand. Anyways, Evan, my point has been.
Well, that would be. Later,
I've cast the Lions aside. I have said
on demand.
I do not believe that they're going to win the division. I put Minnesota in. I think they're going to be the 5. Green Bay will be the 6, and Detroit is not going to be part of the Packers' journey coming back. That is how I view it, because I think Detroit. It is. It's a hill too big to climb with all of their injuries. It's Philly, Green Bay,
all right.
And I am not – all right. So that was my initial thoughts this morning.
Right. Okay, makes sense. So here's, I guess, my question back to you, and when Jason asked the question to me. I'm not putting the Packers as the other teams that people are worried about. They're with the Eagles and the Vikings. Are they not?
Oh, I totally
They're
agree.
Not an other
yes.
team's team. Yeah, we can't
Agreed.
Look at them. The other teams, you're like, oh, God, we got to play them, are Tampa and the Rams. Those are the other teams. The Packers are the team, along with the Eagles and the Vikings, if we're leaving the Lions to the side. There's two other teams. As I said, Bucks and Rams. You want to avoid them if you can because they're sneaky. You want the Commanders and you want the Seahawks to get in the playoffs. Simple as that.
I'll join that club. I'll join that club.
You know what I've realized? When I make good points on this show, it actually backfires. I need to do a better job at doing a worse job. That's what happens here. This conversation has completely died because there's just
because
logical,
it's not combative enough.
Football talk.
With old team.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I've done a bad job because I've done a good job, and that's what's happening.
No, you did a bad job with your Buffalo Bills take. Like it's just a dumb take.
Jason was in complete agreement after hearing me out, and you realize, you know, there's a lot of good points in here. There's a lot of good points in here. I can't fight them all. Let me ask. I'll give you something.
I have not said that at all. I said it was dumb, and I stand by that.
You're wrong.
I still think it's dumb.
I've made every good point. I've made every good point. Let me ask you this. This is an important
point. Why don't you keep patting yourself on the back?
That's right. That's right. Driving by the breakers right now, no big deal. I have a great point, or a great question here, okay?
And hopefully a great point, too.
Just ask yourself.
If aliens were to show up on this planet, and you were to say, here's the
pretty good
one
chance of that, as we've
go.
Been watching, so.
Yeah, well, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, here's that sounded a lot like interrupting the guests to me.
Oh, yeah, good point. Good point, Jason. Excellent.
Not as good
and
as
we
yours,
were to
though.
Say to these aliens, you know what? Here's the top line of our resume as a country. Here's the place you should go, and this is where you'll enjoy yourself. Where are we sending those aliens?
Grand Canyon.
Really?
Yep.
Why is that?
Yeah, that's where I would send them. It's a beautiful place. That or the five parks out in Utah would be another spot that I'd send them. Go hit all those national. I think national parks is what I think is our showcase thing that our country has is our national parks. That's you pick one, but I just gave you two. That's where I'm sending the aliens.
I don't love that. I got to be honest. I know.
So wait, are you sending them to the breakers?
Yeah.
Well, you damn Jason, you've been here.
The gated community of Westchester.
I have been to the Breakers, and there are very few places where I felt more out of place than the Breakers.
I was at an event last night. You want to hear the crew of people I was with? This is some crew, okay? Let me give you – I'm going to give you the full list of names, and I want you to power rank the weight that person was there, okay? Here we go. Here's the list of names at this event last night. All right. Myself, obviously. From ESPN, Matt Barry, SportsCenter anchor. Jeff, it's very loud, Jesse, a little lower. Jesus. Jeff Darlington. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter.
Love Jeff.
Fellow former quarterback, meaning in addition to myself. Steve Walsh, former Bears quarterback, of course. Danny Cannell, former quarterback at FSU. Brady Quinn, who came running up to me by name, knows me. No big deal. let's continue. Urban Meyer was at this event. Johnny Damon was at this event, the former baseball player. Johnny Bananas from the Real World Road Rules Challenge fame. Steve Blake, former NBA point guard.
Oh,
John
Maryland.
Daly. John Daly, golfer, who was also the musical act and sang last night at this event. Let's stop. Anthony Fasano, former NFL tight end. Miles Austin, former NFL wide receiver. Let's stop there. You guys, Wilde and Tausch, give me your top two. Wait, that person was there? On your power ranking. Go ahead.
Did Danny Cannell have a cup of coffee with the Packers while you were there, Tausch? No.
He did not.
No. He was on the Giants, Broncos, and Falcons.
There you go.
There you go.
So you want us to power rank that group? Is that what you want me to do?
Also, Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio, Freddie Coleman,
love
ESPN
Chris Carlin.
Radio, both there as well.
Love
both
Chris
there
Carlin.
As well.
All right, I'm going to say Chris Carlin, number one, and then number two.
Over Brady Quinn and Urban Meyer. Or I don't have any problem putting Urban Meyer toward the bottom.
No,
well, he's the biggest name in that group. He's the biggest name in that whole
Brady
group.
Quinn.
Urban Meyer.
So Brady Quinn.
Just the biggest name.
I'll give you something on him. So, you know, I'm very much into the quarterback position as a former quarterback.
Sure.
And you know me, if you're a good-looking quarterback, you're number one for me, right? I once told Matthew Stafford
to his face.
You
love good-looking quarterbacks. When he was,
I do. I once told Matthew Stafford to his face in an interview early on in his career, I did not think he was good-looking enough to go number one overall. That is not a joke. That is not a joke. Okay.
What did he say back?
He was dying of laughter. And at that point, I'm like, oh, this guy's cool. So Brady Quinn last night, I'm talking to him for a while, unbelievably handsome man. Like, just breathtakingly handsome man. Later in the night, it's dessert. I'm at this event. I'm stuffing my face with ice cream. I look up. Brady Quinn is staring at me laughing. And I'm like, oh, boy. That's it. I'm done. I'm out.
He is handsome. There's no denying that.
So how would you rank it, Evan? Where would you put – who's your top two?
I want to talk to Steve Blake, by the way, out of that group.
Well, Steve Blake, Jason, was the number one person where people came up to me and was like, is that Steve Blake? I'm like, I think it is. Well, Johnny Bananas from Real World Road Rules Challenge, I did not anticipate being there, okay? I had no idea he was there. And then when all of a sudden you look up and John Daly is singing, that was the moment I'm like, this is an interesting night tonight.
What was John Daly wearing?
Out the video. Like a golf shirt, untucked in jeans.
Okay.
Kind of had a Wilde and Tausch outfit.
We respect it. We'll accept that.
All right, Evan, how big of a deal is the Emirates Cup tonight for us Bucks fans? Should we care?
Tash, you weren't into that bit, huh? You weren't into that whole thing?
Well, we got to go. I mean, we're up against it. You're sitting there talking about your love
of
Brady Quinn.
Yeah,
Tash,
you're
very concerned about
integrity.
The clock again. Yeah, very. Thank
clock
God for
integrity
Tash.
Show here. Yeah. I don't think it's a big deal relative to like, oh, my God, they're going to win the championship if they win it. I think it's more so it is a game that matters more than a typical regular season game. You're arguably playing against the best team in the NBA. And I think it's more of a reminder of, hey, we've been here and done this. Don't mess with us. Like, you're not going to want to play us. And I still think the Bucks got it. I really do. I think they still have a chance to win it all. I'm not backing off of that. I think it's more of like a don't forget we've done this, right? We've won a championship. All these other teams like Cleveland, like OKC, Dallas, whomever you want to throw in the mix now that are trying to win it, I think it's one of these reminders of like, we've been here and done that. You're trying to be here and do that. And not because you win the cup, but because it is a game that means a little bit more.
Well, that's why you're our NBA expert instead of Tausch.
Yeah.
All right, Evan, I'm very concerned about
what's going on with Tausch today.
I don't know. What's going on,
what
Tausch?
What are you concerned about? No, what are you concerned about?
You don't seem as engaged with Evan as you normally are.
What are you talking about? I fought him tooth and nail on this idiotic take that he had.
No, you can't. You
what do you want me to do? That his Lions take was very reasonable, and I agree with him. I'm not going to fake it. Like,
all
I
right.
believe
that,
him. I
that,
agree.
Then Evan
with
is
that.
Right. He needs to do a better job at being bad when he's on the show.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that.
And speaking of tooth and nail, you never asked about my tooth last week that got pulled after I went into great detail on your show about it. Just saying, Josh.
Oh,
I'm okay.
Well,
thanks for asking.
Whoa, Nelly!
You two are quite the combination.
I survived.
Way to go. Great work. Great work.
All right, Evan. Can't wait till next week.
Oh, boy.
Jesse tried to cancel on me next week. He tried to cancel on me next week, but okay.
Jesse canceled on you?
I did. Yeah, because next Tuesday we're going to be reacting to Packers Saints all day on Tuesday. And then,
yeah, but what about Thursday?
Well, it's the holidays. You guys are off on Thursday next week.
Oh, yeah. All right. Works out great for everybody then. Thanks,
Evan.
Good
stuff. Well, hey, Happy New Year, Evan. Have a great New Year. We'll talk to you in the playoffs when Buffalo is playing the Ravens at home and getting beat in the first round.
And they won't have a winning streak then either. All right. We appreciate Evan Cohen. It's always great that he joins us, even if he doesn't argue with Tausch quite as much today as he does normally. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Thanks, Devin Cohen. Always great to catch up with him, even if he and Tausch aren't as combative as they normally are. The YouTube dwellers feeling that there was a missed opportunity there for you to suggest to the aliens that they go to the archaeological dig in South Dakota. Geriot and others. Surprise. That you would leave that off their itinerary. But you do love your national parks, that is for sure. You also love your Coors Light.
Coors Light brewed. That would be something that the aliens would love. Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered. And it's cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing. It is crisp. It is only 102 calories. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
For those of you that haven't done this, I see Pierre. Oui, oui, monsieur. If you subscribe to either the ESPN Milwaukee or ESPN Madison YouTube channels, like Tausch thinks he did, but he really didn't. It then allows you into the chat, which is where things are percolating right now, with lots of opinions and sports takes that you can check out if you subscribe and then can join the live chat. So be sure to do that.
Like what? What are they talking about over there?
Well, I want to stay on the clock. From what my understanding is, that's a big focus for Tausch. And I asked Evan a question, and he kind of blew it off. And I see that one of his ESPN national colleagues has a take that would be exactly what I asked him. But he just sort of ignored it. He was too focused on complaining about Tausch's lack of energy about his appearance. So we've got Power Rankings Tuesday and something from Damian Woody that I was trying to get at with Evan ahead in the 10 o'clock hour, which starts in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.